You're listening to Good Food on KCRW. I'm Evan Kleiman. Consider this. The future of the planet is in our hands. It's that simple. As the world continues to change in the age of the Anthropocene, the age of man, so will our chances of survival. The Anthropocene Cookbook imagines the cuisine of the future, and instead of falling fatalistically headfirst into doomsday, curators Zana Serpina and Stahl Stensley take an inventive and proactive approach to considering how future generations will eat and thrive. Welcome to the show, the two of you.
Thanks a lot. Great to be here.
Yes, thank you very much for inviting us. We're very excited to talk to you.
It's such a fascinating book. Perhaps we can begin with each of you explaining your work and how you came to collaborate on this project.
Yeah, this work started about 6 and 7 years ago when we, we realized and found ourselves in the midst of the Anthropocene debate. You know, what are we going to call the age of catastrophes? And, it's a human-made and therefore anthropocenic period of time we live in. And coming from the art and technology background, this was a major discussion.
Stahl, tell us what you were doing in art and technology. Give us a bit more depth about your background.
Well, the field of art and technology, is where, art comes together with science and technology and also, lots of, interesting conceptual thinking about how to shape and build futures. When I started out there back in the early 90s with doing virtual reality technologies and future technologies, mixing that together with the somatic the possibilities.
And Zana, what is your background?
My background is also in art and technology, but I've been working for several years as a curator and independent researcher, very much interested in the topic of the Anthropocene. And it is very interesting times we live in, and art has a lot to contribute to our thinking now and in the future for it. So what book is trying to teach us through creative thinking and this out-of-the-box approach that we have to think differently, and we also can't be prepared for futures based on step-by-step guidelines. We don't know what is to come, but it is that thinking about the unexpected, the black swan events and extreme scenarios that we have to learn how to deal with.
Give me an example of one of the projects that that you've described in the book.
One kind of intriguing project is the Gilpin family whiskey project, where James Gilpin utilized the urine of his family members who had lots of sugars in the urine, and would extract the sugars from the urine and turn that batch into alcohol and further down the line into whiskey. So he made out of his family members' waste kind of exclusive drinking items, which sound maybe abstruse and disgusting to quite a few. Yet it's an interesting take on how to think resources. Resources that also comes from our own bodies.
You also talk about how imposters might enter into the marketplace and the idea of 3D printed foods.
Yes, we do mention 3D printing in our book in a couple of chapters, specifically in the fake food chapter, where we investigate what if in the future fake foods or imposter foods might be actually more sustainable, better for the environment, and even more tastier than the real foods. And 3D printing becomes a, interesting technology to achieve that, because suddenly you can take all kinds of raw ingredients and materials and turn them into whatever shape, form you would like to have. Like, for example, in the book we mention that suddenly insect-based materials, for example, from insect powder, you can actually make pasta, and suddenly this ingredient turns into something quite familiar in that case.
How will pollution, radiation, and plastic be deemed useful in creating our diets?
In the Anthropocene cookbook, we sort of explore this quite radical take of what are the new tastes of the Anthropocene, and what if these new raw materials, new raw ingredients like plastic or pollution and radiation, what if they do become a sort of intended part of our diet? We have this quote in the book when we say that what if the plastic picking in the Anthropocene becomes sort of this mushroom and berry picking in the future. And plastic is becoming part of our food system. And although right now it is becoming part of it unintended and unwillingly, recent research shows that there are several organisms that are learning to digest and feed on plastic, like mealworms and several bacteria. So if suddenly plastic becomes a feed for, let's say, insects and other bacteria, we can further turn plastic into food, digestible and edible for humans. So we think that all these possibilities is something to explore.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the two of you have certainly given us a lot of food for thought with this book. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. It was a great pleasure.
Thanks a lot. It was really great to talk to you.
That's Zana Serpina and Shtal Stensley. Together, they considered how art, food, and creative thinking can prepare us for future catastrophes in the Anthropocene Cookbook. Coming up, Haitian Independence Day is celebrated on January 1st, and all month long, the country celebrates with their iconic dish, soup jumu. Hear all about it next.